The following is a paid presentation. The views and opinions expressed do not necessarily reflect those of WIFE or Whitewater Broadcasting. It's time for To Your Health, brought to you by Rush Memorial Hospital. A weekly visit with the healthcare professionals at Rush Memorial to introduce you to the employees and the various programs at the hospital. And now, your host, Mary Frances Friedel.
Good morning. We are here today with Summer Lasar, the Director of Surgery at Rush Memorial Hospital, and Summer is back with us to continue talking about sepsis. Good morning, Summer.
Good morning, Mary Frances.
Thank you so much for coming in today. While you're here, could you tell us a little bit about what Rush Memorial is doing to combat sepsis in our community?
That's a great question, Mary Frances. I think a lot of people don't realize all that the hospital does when it comes to sepsis to make sure that we're always doing process improvement and we're trying to meet these what we call core measures that are set in place for the hospital. We do a lot of this quality improvement and process improvement, and we actually have a whole team that's dedicated to sepsis. This sepsis team is actually comprised of a lot of different people, a lot of different disciplines. We have physicians such as hospitalists, emergency department physicians. We even have specialists, the nurses. We've got a lot of med-surg, surgery, and emergency department nurses on this team. We have pharmacy. We actually have our electronic health record, so we call that Cerner, but we have the Cerner specialists that come to these meetings as well. And of course, we have quality improvement. When we first started the sepsis committee, we were meeting about once a month, and the goal is once every 3 months, but we've been really active in trying to initiate education for nurses, education for EMS, education for the public, and work on our processes and review how often that we meet our core measures. We've really kind of dove into this at the hospital. Sheila Browning, our emergency department director, has been over this, and she's done an amazing job coordinating this and getting the information, looking at our order sets, looking at what we could change, talking with the emergency department physicians, and really just trying to optimize our care.
When you were here last talking about sepsis, you mentioned that 30% of the patients diagnosed with sepsis don't make it. That's a pretty scary number. So I can see why you would have formed a team to just make sure that we're absolutely doing the best that we can in all areas to take care of these patients. It's certainly something I would hope I would never get.
Well, it can be really scary. Okay, you're absolutely right. And it is a scary number. I mean, to think about the fact that 30% of people, like you said, could pass away from this disease, you know, that is why we make such a big effort to get these patients taken care of.
Well, it's interesting too, because I don't think very many people hear of it. I know I didn't know what sepsis was until I started working in a hospital.
So, you know what, Mary Frances, you're right. I think it's really interesting how much the population and the public doesn't really understand sepsis. Only 65% of the adults say that they even know the word sepsis. 39% of people think that sepsis is contagious. You know, they don't understand the process. I know even as a nurse, I always think of sepsis as some big bad thing that happens within the hospital. You know, you think of it as coming from your superbugs that we've created. But honestly, 80% of it starts out in the community. We just end up taking care of the patients after they've become really sick and they do come into the hospital.
Are some patients at greater risk of getting sepsis than others?
If you start to look at the patient population, the elderly is a group that we worry about because of being immunocompromised, because of being in the hospital, and you know, if they have catheters, if they have diabetes, they usually have a lot of other problems that can contribute to increasing your chance for sepsis. That being said, immunocompromised people, like people that have maybe on chemo treatment for cancer.
And what about the young?
Probably the biggest problem with pediatric patients is recognition. As many as 40% of septic patients are pediatric patients, but just within the last few years have we even come out with pediatric guidelines for sepsis, because it is multifaceted, just meaning that it affects so many different parts of the body, and it can be really difficult to identify sepsis. You know, you really have to have a lot of lab work. If they're not manifesting certain symptoms, meaning that they're not showing all the symptoms, it can be a big question about, well, is it sepsis? Sepsis or is it not? Luckily, their death from sepsis isn't as high, but they do get sepsis just as often, and it is more hard to identify.
I would think the hardest part as a parent would be if you're dealing with a little baby, because the baby can't tell you how it's feeling. So what should parents look for if they suspect that maybe their baby might have sepsis?
That's a great question, Mary Frances, because I do feel like with children, we do see them in sepsis late because, once again, it's hard to identify. So like pale skin, discolored skin, a rash that you press and it doesn't go away. The biggest thing with kids that as nursing staff that we look at is their consciousness. If a kid comes to the emergency department and isn't upset, it worries us. If a kid comes to the emergency department and is lethargic, not moving around, it worries us. So that would be the same at home. You know, if your child is laying around and they're not very responsive and they're just not acting right, you know, we want to see those kids right away.
Is there any change in their urination or in their fever or anything like that that parents can look for?
The big thing is if you don't have a wet diaper or a child doesn't go pee in 12 hours, that can be a really bad sign of being dehydrated and getting later into sepsis. Vomiting repeatedly, if your child is not eating, especially in infants, that's a big sign. They don't feel good, they get too tired, and so they don't take in the fluids that they need to take in.
So what would you say to parents who are worried about being an alarmist and they're afraid that, oh, they're going to be overreacting to these symptoms?
Working in the ER for years, Mary Frances, I have to be honest, before I had kids, people would come in and they would have these worries, and I'd be like, oh, your kid's fine, why are you coming in here? Then I had children. Right. And so now I'm like, you can ask me any questions you want. You come as often as you want. You know, now we will educate you as far as the right place to go and whatnot. But parents know their kids. Parents can tell you if something's wrong with their kids. One of the biggest things they teach you in healthcare when you're dealing with pediatric patients is listen to the parents. So if you have concerns about your child, please, at the least, call your doctor. Call the nurse. Come to the emergency department. Once again, you know your children. You know if something's going on with them. It may be much better for it to turn out to be nothing than for your loved one to have sepsis and it goes undiagnosed.
How does sepsis affect people who are diabetic?
That's a good question, too. There's a couple of different factors with diabetics. Number one, you are more susceptible to infection. So big thing that happens is because your sugar's high, once you get an infection somewhere, because of that sugar, it can really get bad fast. Okay. The other problem with diabetics is that they get neuropathy. Diabetes and all that sugar in your blood vessels can kind of damage your nerves, and so you don't feel it. So, like a big problem that we have is a lot of diabetics can have an infection going on and they don't even know about it. A very common problem for our podiatrist is that patients will come in, they're not feeling well, and they just don't know why. And he finds a big sore on the bottom of their foot that they didn't even know about it. They didn't feel it. And of course, by the time they get there and they start to show these signs of sepsis, then, you know, we're already behind the eight ball.
Right.
We do actually identify a lot of sepsis in the clinic setting.
So I guess it's really important for diabetics to do regular foot exams on their own feet. I mean, even if you have to use a mirror to look at the bottom of your foot.
Right. Absolutely. Yes. That's one of the things that Dr. Lasar, the podiatrist, he always recommends, you know, make sure you're checking your feet, get a mirror, look at your feet. You know, we've had a lot of instances where people had big holes in their feet. They'd stepped on something and didn't even know it. And, you know, you step on a nail and then it goes for a few days and then you've got an infection in your septic.
What about with the elderly? Are they affected differently, or do they get sepsis because of different types of infections?
It's not necessarily because of different types of infections, but they do tend to be more prone to like urinary tract infections, pneumonia. A lot of it is just, once again, related to, you know, pneumonia can be because of swallowing. A lot of, as you get older, you don't swallow as well, so that can go down into your lungs. We talked about, you know, because of catheters, because of decreased sensation, and also if you have frequent urinary tract infections, sometimes people tend to kind of ignore that. But as you get older, your immune system doesn't work as well, and so the infection can get really bad, and then you can have that big reaction.
Well, I guess if you get them often enough, you might just get tired of going in to get them checked and taken care of, and you might think, oh, I could let this go a little bit longer.
Yeah, and I could see that. And so that's why, you know, that's one of the big things that we would like to push with our sepsis team at the hospital is education for family members to keep an eye out for sepsis, especially, you know, if you have a mom or a dad that you know gets frequent urinary tract infections, you know, what are the symptoms that you need to make sure that they're not going into septic shock?
What about elderly people who have dementia? Because they're kind of like in this situation with little babies. They may not be able to tell you how they feel. If you were caring for someone who had dementia, what would you look out for?
That is another really difficult thing to identify for families. Some of the biggest things that we look for is just a complete change in personality, worsening of dementia, you know, real lethargy. We've had a lot of patients get combative and we kind of don't know why. And then we come in and they've got a really bad urinary tract infection and they're septic from it. Any big changes in just the way they act, if they seem like something is off. And then, of course, it's going to be important for you to look for their physical symptoms, which just means, you know, we talked about the skin color. We talked about the pulse rate. We talked about them breathing fast. You know, the first thing, like we said, that your body wants to do is to try to get rid of that acid somehow. And one of the first ways that you do that is through your breathing.
Another situation that this brings to mind to me is somebody who's living alone. Because when you're living alone, you're not getting that feedback from another person to say, oh, wow, you're really laying around a whole lot. And people don't always, aren't real self-aware maybe when they're not feeling well. And they may not be critically looking at themselves as you would if you were looking at a loved one who was sick. Well, you're paying attention to every little thing. But if you're not feeling well and you're living alone, maybe you aren't doing that. So what would people need to look for in that kind of a situation?
We actually have a lot of patients come into the ER thinking that they're having a stroke and they had just sepsis going on. So that being said, if you, once again, and if you notice your memory just isn't right, if you feel like you're not walking well, if you have weird, uncontrollable shivering, you've got to recognize that all that can be signs of sepsis. And you need to go to the emergency department or go to your doctor's office and at least get it checked out. You know, especially in the older population living alone, it can be really important to pay attention to, you know, your memory, any kind of changes there, any kind of changes in, you know, sensation, meaning does your head feel dizzy? Are your fingers and your toes numb? You know, you get a lot of weird symptoms sometimes when your blood pressure and stuff really drop out, or when you're starting to compensate and your body goes through all those changes of sepsis.
I think I have heard of people having like a sense of impending doom when they're really sick. Is that a thing with sepsis?
Yes, absolutely. Going back to that analogy of a bruise throughout the whole body. So you have to think of how much a bruise on the arm hurts. So a bruise within the whole body that affects all the organs is going to make you really achy, not feel well. It can make you feel like, you know, have this sense that, you know, something bad is going to happen. Now, in the medical field, we always want you to come to the emergency department if you have a sense of impending doom. That's usually never a
good sign.
Yeah, one way or the other, that's never a good sign. But yes, absolutely, with sepsis, you can have the same thing, and we want you to come get checked out.
And then just one final question. Since sepsis is not an infection, but a reaction to an infection, what would you say about patients who don't finish all of an antibiotic? Because isn't there a relationship between getting a stronger infection, maybe, if you don't finish all of an antibiotic?
Yes. It's one of the very first things you learn in educating patients in nursing school is finish all your antibiotics. Going back to a friend of mine that had a urinary tract infection, one of the things that happened is she only got a 3-day course of antibiotics for a really bad urinary tract infection. Now, she did finish her antibiotics, but because the course of antibiotics wasn't long enough, she got a really bad infection and it went into sepsis. So no matter what, if you get prescribed antibiotics, if you're feeling better, if you feel like it's cleared up, you still always have to finish that course, because you can start to kill those weak bacteria, start to feel better. And then if you stop taking your antibiotics, well, then all that you've done is killed weak bacteria. And so the stronger bacteria will grow back and can really make a much worse infection.
Well, thank you so much for coming in and explaining this to all of us. Thank you so much for all your work at the hospital, and your sepsis team sounds absolutely amazing.
Oh,
I'm
yes.
I'm really glad that we have that going.
We've got a lot of great people on the team with wonderful ideas and, you know, a lot of people committed to the hospital and committed to the patients and the communities.
You can listen to past shows of To Your Health. Log on to rushmemorial.com and click on podcasts. Join us again next week for another visit with Rush Memorial Hospital. It's To Your Health, brought to you by Rush Memorial Hospital on Hometown Country 94.3 WIFE. The proceeding was a paid presentation. The views and opinions expressed do not necessarily reflect those of WIFE or Whitewater Broadcasting.